filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent. We're live online at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we start hour two of the El Paso History Show normally with a taped event from Melissa Sargent, but today, it's going to be different today. We're going to go to Bob Keller on the phone. Bob, we got you on the radio. Good morning.
Morning.
You're the guy that has the last trivia answer, right?
I hope so.
All right, what do you got? What was the question there, Mr. Rick?
Who killed Madero?
Who killed Madero? And the answer is?
Huerta.
Yes, indeed. You get that one right. And you get the prize, and if you come to Pepe's, I'll buy you lunch today.
Can't make it today.
Okay, in that case, I won't buy you lunch. But in the meantime, we'll give you a certificate to Pepe's or one of the DVDs because you won the trivia question.
A DVD.
Okay, you got Ghost 2, you got Ghost 3, you got Gunfights. I think you actually might get a kick out of Ghost 2. I'm not sure what you're into ghosts or not.
I'm not into ghosts.
Okay,
whatever else you have.
Okay, in that case, we'll give you the Gunfights of the Old West. Bob Keller. What else is on your mind, Bob? You're always up to something.
Oh, just interesting show today. I read The Archaeology Was a Spy, and it really goes into a lot of this intrigue around El Paso, all that was happening during that period of time.
Wait till you hear what happens in the rest of this hour here, because David Romo has been researching spies on the border for another book, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that's what we're going to talk about a lot this hour. So, Bob Keller, thank you kindly. Shelley will come on the phone and tell you to pick up your prize. I think you know how this works.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. All right, going back to where we were. Also, we got Elias on the phone here. Don't go away, Elias. You're still there, right? We got him out in California on hold. Now let's start the hour with this thing here called the El Paso History Moment from Melissa Sargent, written by her for the County Historical Commission. And her story today is happening right now. Sergio, play it.
America's Cowboy. Silent movie star Tom Mix, who claimed El Paso as his birthplace, started the Tom Mix Circus and Wild West Show in 1936, featuring himself and his horse Tony Jr. But after only 3 years, Tom Mix's circus folded in El Paso the winter of 1938, and by the following spring, all show's assets were sold while Mix was off in Europe. A few years later, driving cross-country to California, Mix stopped in El Paso to have dinner and visit with close friend, Sheriff Chris Fox. The next day, Mix was on his way to Hollywood, but never arrived. Tragically, Mix died in a car wreck near Florence, Arizona, only 2 days later. More history next time on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso County Historical Commission.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Go online to sargentinventoryservices.com.
Yes, indeed. Go online. You'll find those people. Day of the Cowboy today out there in Anthony, Texas. Get on out there. They got things going on. I think Tim Thompson's singing right about now. And there's a lot to do all afternoon. They got up until 5 o'clock, and they're actually going to have a movie at sunset. A movie at sunset out there in the Anthony, and it's at Richard White Park, which is off the exit zero. As you head south toward, no, not south, downhill toward the river, you'll find this park on your way, Richard White Park. Day of the Cowboy. Big doings out there all day long. What is a cowboy? And to answer the question, you ask a vaquero. I think you have to know the history to figure that one out. All right, Rick Kern, this is from the El Paso County Historical Commission. And by the way, that's an interesting group to work with. It is not a nonprofit. I have figured out nonprofits can be structured, some good, some bad. Most of them kind of like end up being a personal thing for somebody. The commission can't do that. They're appointed by the county commissioners.
That's right.
If you have an issue with the structure, you go to the county. So it works out well. They're all volunteers. Next meeting is when?
The next County Historical Commission meeting is normally the second Monday of every month, and that day is August. Will be Monday, August 8th, 2016 at 11:30 a.m. It's at the United Bank of El Paso Del Norte Downtown Branch, 401 East Main Street.
Interesting crowd to work with because they're getting things done. You're on a committee. You're in a PR committee.
Yes, sir.
And we are, again, finding out that there's a lot of people who get involved in that who have energy, a lot of them are retired school teachers.
Yeah.
And they're finding out that when they get out of what they're doing, they still have some energy and want to contribute to the society. El Paso County Historical Commission.
It's a great group.
Interesting way to do it. Call up Bernie tomorrow. Not today. He's going to be fried. 581-7920. Bernie will tell you how to get involved in that. All right. Going to go talk to Elias Bonilla one more time here. Elias, you're still with us, I take it, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, do you have any thoughts about, as we wrap up the Pancho Villa and punitive expedition discussion, we're going to probably head into some more stuff now that David Romo is doing on research about spies on the border. Is that basically right, David?
That's right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're welcome to either give us a thought or two about Pancho or contribute as David gets into this next segment here. We'll stick with us?
Right.
All right, hang on.
Yeah.
Here. And it's for those who need to know or want to know, Elias Bonilla is a former El Pasoan, major into the history here. By the way, when you move your phone like that, we all hear it, so be careful there. You're not scraping the phone across the grate of a furnace, are you?
No.
It just sounded like that, okay? It just sounded like that. So anyway, stick there, Elias. We'll comment as you need to. But the idea about Mexico and the revolution, David Romo, there are so many things about this that can be said. You mentioned a dark period that occurred in 1916, 1917.
Mm-hmm,
also, some of that contributions as they were leading up into World War One, the Germans were all over the place.
Right.
Tell us about this.
Well, you know, that's why the first time that Mexican border crossers needed a passport was 1917. And it had everything to do with both the Mexican Revolution and World War One. Because the passports were supposed to just be kind of a temporary thing. Because there was so much fear and really paranoia and hysteria, war hysteria, that they thought that the Germans were going to fly in from Juarez and bomb El Paso. So there were actually committees on this side of the border waiting for the Germans to bomb us. So that there was that kind of fear at that time.
They weren't doing blackouts, were they?
Not until World War II.
They didn't know how to do that yet, okay.
Right. But so the passports were instituted for that reason, to keep out German spies. And I've been looking at a lot of the declassified archives from that period, and they were really kind of just, they wanted that to stop. So they prohibit German from being taught in the schools. All foreign languages were no longer going to be taught in the schools during World War One.
Not even Spanish?
Not even Spanish.
Wow.
So this was just a temporary thing, right? But the bureaucracy kind of just built up, and the passports were just convenient. And after World War One, they said, oh, why not? Let's just keep them going. It's no longer a temporary thing. So really, it was World War One and the Mexican Revolution that shuts down the border.
Oh,
and
no,
before, it was like an open border. It was laissez-faire capitalism, as they say, right?
Yeah.
You want people, if you need laborers, you come and you bring them in. And that helps our economy. So that was the thought at that time. World War One, Mexican Revolution shifts the border completely. It leaves kind of a scar in our community. For the first time, El Paso and Juarez were two split communities.
It had been one valley.
It had been just one community.
Yeah.
You know, you could walk back and forth. Unless you were Chinese, they wouldn't stop you. Well, there was already the anti-Chinese legislation.
That was
the beginning. But everybody else could walk back and forth. No problem at all. So that's a huge shift.
Oh, yeah.
1917.
But all these things going on that we didn't know about, all the spy stuff going
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely.
Oh, my. And that's what you're researching.
So now I'm basically trying to write the sequel to Bring Side C to a Revolution. So I'm looking at the 1930s and 1940s. And so a lot of this history also hasn't been told. I've been able to, thankfully, while I was doing my dissertation, I got a grant to go to the archives in Berlin. And, you know, I brushed up on my old German from undergraduate years a long time ago, and I can read some of the German declassified, you know, secret. There's an incredible amount of material in Germany about the U.S.-Mexico border.
I'll be honest.
Like, I was fascinated, right? The U.S.-Mexico border was an important site for propaganda for the Axis during World War II. You know, they would have 18 different nations were beaming shortwave radio propaganda to all of Latin America, including Mexico and the border, trying to undermine the United States. So they would use everything. So, of course, there were a lot of spies. The FBI, the OSS, the Office of Strategic Services, which are the precursors of the CIA, they get in on the act. Their bureaucracy, it's just like Homeland Security after 9/11. It just explodes, right? So there's all these stories that I'm finding that are fascinating. sometimes I wonder how true they are, and I have serious doubts. For instance, one story, one reliable report from the Military Intelligence Division, this is 1940, says that there are 30,000 Germans hidden in secret airport bases all along the U.S.-Mexico border, including Juarez. And they're ready to attack the United States. In the summer of 1940, 30,000 German pilots. You know, that sounds extremely exaggerated because, I mean, the Battle of Britain is going on in 1940, and they can't afford 30 extra pilots. You know, I mean, 2,000 pilots is a lot. So, obviously, those kinds of stories, are exaggerated. It's a little like today where, you know, you hear all these stories from Washington and all these that terrorists are cropping over into Juarez and El Paso.
We got a camp in Napa, yeah.
And we live here and we know that that's exaggerated, right? So why these stories? There's another story of the Japanese transporting opium. That now that they've taken over Manchuria up in China, now they control the opium.
Now being 1916.
17. No, now being in 1940.
You're up to 40 now.
So now I'm into the World War II period.
Okay, Japanese, 1940.
1940, Manchuria. According, and this is the Office of Naval Intelligence. And what is the Office of Naval Intelligence doing spying in El Paso? They were here. Everybody was here. The FBI was here. Everything is here. Like, this is an underground. This is like Berlin during the Cold War. There's all kinds of spies going on. Are there some German spies? Sure. One of them is Dr. Wolfgang Ebel. And he has his offices in the Abdu building in downtown El Paso. And he is the director, the local director of the German-American Bund. And these are basically the American Nazis. And he's helping take some of these German-American Bund people in contact with Mexican Nazis. That's a strange word. How can you be a Mexican and a Nazi, right? But they're recruiting some of them.
I'm glad someone like you was figuring all this out.
Exactly. And it's just a fascinating story. I mean, you got to read the book to get all the details. But El Paso, once again, is this kind of hidden source of all that movement. One of the guys that's very important for people that are familiar with Mexican history is José Vasconcelos. He's like the preeminent philosopher, thinker at this time. And he's hanging out in the Segundo Barrio on Florence Street, organizing different factions, including what's called the Gold Shirts that are based on the Brown Shirts, as a kind of a fascist movement to overthrow the government of Mexico, because at that time, Lázaro Cárdenas, kind of a leftist president, was in power. So they were using El Paso as a base, using all kinds of sources and all kinds of money.
That's not well known.
To overthrow the government of Mexico. Same thing that happens in the revolution happens in 1930 and 1940.
That's not
well
known.
El Paso is a center of revolutionary plotting.
Interesting stuff. David Romo's in-house. Talking a lot of stuff here. We have a caller coming in here for a moment. Elias, I'm going to put you on hold. Don't go away. If you got a thought, we'll be right back to you. Let's go to Roy. Roy, got you on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Surviving. What's up with you?
Well, I got a question for Dr. Romo.
Sure.
Since Germany had courted Mexico during World War I, besides the fact that always that are the flying weather and so forth down in this area, I have a theory. I don't know if I've ever found anything to back it up or otherwise. But all these training bases we had along the border, those are plenty close enough to bomb Mexico City if necessary with B-24s or B-17s. Have you found anything to indicate that might have been the reason they put the bases down here?
Yeah, turn your radio down, Roy.
Very good question. You know, even before World War II, I actually, and this was at the National Archives in Washington, D.C., I found some plans back in 1912 for the invasion of Mexico. So these are contingency plans. You know, the Office of Naval Intelligence.
Just in case.
Just in case they need it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was exactly what they actually did in 1914, in April 1914, when Wilson invades Veracruz.
Oh, so they just pull the plans out of the drawer?
They pull the plans out of the drawer, and they figure out exactly in Juarez, who's going to collaborate, how many soldiers they have. So the answer to your question is that, yes, there's the same kind of contingency plans that I find in 1940. They say, if we invade Juarez, there's a plan to invade Juarez. And, of course, they never did. This was just a contingency plan.
Well, we used to invade Juarez every Friday night, but that's a different matter.
Exactly.
Entirely.
Right? And they said, you know, these are the people that are going to – there was a mayor there, Antonio Bermudez, who later became the head of the PRONAF and the head of PEMEX. And there were all kinds of informants in Mexico working for the FBI, working for Military Intelligence Division. And they included the the president's brother and the former president of Mexico, Miguel Alemán. Now, all of this is going to be fully documented because these are things that I'm uncovering that even some of the top historians in Mexico and other places have not uncovered. So I'm going to show you photographs of these primary documents.
Amazing, David. Roy, did we answer your question?
Pretty much. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. You take it easy. All right, let's go back to Elias. Elias, you've been hearing a snootful there. You have any comments or thoughts?
Yeah, listen, let me bring in something else. Since we're talking about the pre-World War II, there's a story about how Japan had approached President Venustiano Carranza.
Yeah.
They wanted him to approve an offer from them so that they could build a deep water port in the Gulf of Mexico.
Mm-hmm,
up there where it joins the almost on the American border.
Magdalena Bay.
Right.
Uh-huh.
They wanted their own deep water there, which would have been a disaster for the Americans. But Carranza let Washington know about it, and they told him to absolutely refuse it. And so he did. And so that never was done. But then that there you are. You've talked about the Germans who had put in almost $1 million worth of money in the Deutsche Bank in New York City for the new there was a plot
I can't help you with this one. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Carranza was definitely interested in the possibility of German support. That was the whole Zimmerman telegram offered aid to Mexico and Carranza in order to, as they put it, reconquer some of the territories that were lost during the war between Mexico and the United States. You know, California, Texas, Nevada, Colorado, and Carranza was smart enough to like say, no, I'm not touching this. The same thing with Pancho Villa here in the Emporium Bar. Maximilian Claus, who is an alleged German agent, wants Magdalena Bay as one of the submarine bases. So the Japanese were interested. The Germans were interested. There were allegations that the U.S. was also trying to buy out that port or all of Baja California. So a great book on this is Dr. Friedrich Katz, and it's The Secret War in Mexico. He's one of the preeminent, most respected kind of world scholars on that period, that all that kind of international intrigue and how this little spot in the middle of nowhere called El Paso and Juarez was a hugely, tremendously important place for global developments.
Here comes the next book from David Roma, apparently.
Absolutely.
Hold on there, Elias. We're going to go to a break here. Can you hang on for a minute or two? Please do so. All right. Now, let's also, we have a call here from someone coming in on, this would be from Max. Max, good morning.
Good morning, Jackson. How you doing?
I'm well.
Rick?
Thank you.
Max.
And you know all the people here. You know Dr. Romo, don't you?
Yes. How you doing, Dr. Romo?
How are you doing?
Good to hear you again. Dr. Excellent.
Same here.
Never been better.
You had a question for Dr. Romo, but also, Max, I know there's another announcement you want to make. Go ahead.
Huge announcement. Go see the front page of the El Paso Inc., the popular department store designed by Henry C. Trost and completed in March 1917 after 13 months of construction, is 99 years old, and it will be restored top to bottom, interior and exterior, by its owners, Fayas Paredes. And this is huge news.
It is huge news. This is about the sixth or seventh building or so that's been invested in by outsiders, right?
Yeah. Actually, I run some numbers just yesterday. There will have been 10 Trost buildings restored between 2008 and 2018. So in only 10 years, 10 buildings restored, 8 of them using tax credits, and that's 10 of the 27 extant Trost buildings in downtown.
Well,
so,
that's great.
The El Paso really should thank you, Dr. Max Grossman, for a lot of the effort that you have led to make this secure. You have made some enemies along the way, who I think you're now turning back into friends. I appreciate the fact that you're not stopping either way.
Hey, Max, I've got something to add to that, buddy.
Sharon, yeah, what's that?
My wife Sharon was the advertising art director there at the Popular, so this is really good news for us to see.
Well, so many people have memories coming home when you talk about the Popular. So, Max, your thoughts. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, it's one of the most significant buildings in West Texas. It was the largest department store between Dallas and Los Angeles for decades. It is a beautiful Chicago-style department store. Adolph Schwartz arrived in America with absolutely nothing in 1887, and he built a financial and commercial empire centered at that property. And Henry C. Trost, our greatest architect, that's one of his three or four greatest masterpieces. And we've seen that the Camino Real is about to be restored, the International Building. This is part of the tidal wave of restoration projects that we're seeing in the wake of the Anson Mills project, which really got the ball rolling.
Excellent stuff, Max. We'll read about you in the El Paso Inc., I'm guessing.
I don't know about that. We'll see if I'm on the record. But I've got a question for Dr. Romo.
Here you are.
Yes.
Well, I'm really fascinated between the relationship between buildings, especially Trost's buildings, mm-hmm. and the early 20th century spy network. So, for example, mm-hmm. I read that a 1913 U.S. Senate report detailed how the Roberts Banner Building mm-hmm. was home to dozens of spies for the government of Porfirio Diaz, and that just two blocks away in the Caples Building, literally two blocks away, is where Francisco Madero set up his headquarters on the fifth floor, instigating the early phase of the revolution. So I'm wondering if you can comment on these two buildings and the veracity of this information.
Right. Absolutely. You know, the fifth floor of the Caples Building, it was under both Castulo Herrera and Abraham Gonzalez, who was later the governor of Chihuahua. That's where he's the one that recruited Pancho Villa. Also, Giuseppe Garibaldi, the so-called grandson of the so-called liberator of Italy, was recruited through that building. That was a center for logistics. They were involved in some of the recruitment, some of the smuggling, and that was one of the reasons that El Paso played such a major role in the revolution. Because Madero, he calls for the revolution when he's in San Antonio. That peters out. Mexico City, there's a few little uprisings and what have you. He's about to give up when he hears that Pancho Villa, Orozco, and other revolutionaries in northern Chihuahua are about to attack Juarez. He ends up coming here. Mm. And he stays in El Paso, you know, in early 1911 for about 2-3 months. And this is where he recruits basically the core of his movement. They later hook up. So, yes, the Caples Building is very important. The Roberts Banner as well. I found some primary sources where there's all kinds of spies during the so-called counter-revolution when Orozco turns against Madero. And they had, like, double and triple agents. So they had all these Mexican spies from the Madero government that were allowed to look into who was buying the arms at the different arms supplies places. They weren't checking the popular, right? Because Adolf Schwartz, he refused to sell weapons. But he would sell
the clothing,
like the clothing,
yes,
and other
the uniforms.
Things. So there was one incident there where both the federales are on the first floor buying equipment for their forces, and the revolutionaries are on the third floor.
And they had to keep them apart.
They had to
and
keep
that's
them
a big
apart.
Deal in history,
right,
or what?
Right.
David Romo, we got to take a break here. Max, I appreciate your call. We need to get you in here, Max, in a couple of weeks, I think, and talk about all this. Max Grossman, thank you kindly. We'll see you in the papers.
Y'all take care.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Oh, it's excellent stuff to see what's going on in El Paso. And the fact that you're now connecting with another UTEP professor and putting together things. Oh, the revolution was in the Trost Building. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, absolutely.
Good stuff. Oh, yeah. We have to take a breaker. I'm actually tempted to forego the trivia this hour because I think basically we've sort of blown through it. Mm-hmm. So we need to take a break. Well, I really want to tell you one thing about who's coming in next week. I got to tell you who's coming in. The International Boundary and Water Commission. They have all kinds of historic projects that they have been created through them. In the New Deal, Mark Howe and Gabe Duran are coming back. They were in here in January to tell us this exact story. We never got to it. We kept talking about all the escapades of the commissioners in the 1850s and 60s and 70s. So this time we're going to give it a shot. So that's IBWC coming in. Also, August 6th, Museum of History, Museum of Archaeology, and the interim director of both. Now, as of today, I think that's changed. Ben Fife is coming in. August 6th, Celebrate Our Mountains. Dino Man, I call him, Dr. Eric Kappas, another PhD from UTEP. And City Rep Jim Tolbert are in, talking about the celebration of the mountains. Vietnam Vets, we're talking about them on August 13th. And Concordia Heritage, Chamizal National Memorial on the 20th. On the 27th, We have a panel of civic leaders coming in here to tell us all kinds of interesting things about our history. They include Jose Rodriguez, the senator, and educator and icon Rosa Guerrero, and City Rep Jim Tolbert again. So we got Jim twice in August here. So I had to say that before we got too far. We're going to take a break and come back in a minute. Elias, don't go away. Sergio, are you ready? 544 Rick Kern, what's the last four?
5876.
Back in a moment.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
The belly flattener Nubiotics is in an epic battle with the competition to be the best belly flattening product on the market. To prove they're the best, they're giving away free trials to everyone who calls in the next 10 minutes. 1-800-500-2883. Nubiotics has what it takes to win. It's scientifically formulated to flatten bloated bellies fast by cleansing pounds of rotting food and toxic sludge from your body. Made with natural ingredients, it even combats periodic heartburn and acid reflux. But to win, Nubiotics can't just be the best. It's got to prove it's the best. That's why they're giving away free trials to anyone, male or female, who's looking for maximum belly flattening in minimum time. Again, Nubiotics is in an epic battle to be the best belly flattening product on the market. To win, they're giving away free trials to everyone who calls in the next 10 minutes. So hurry. Call now for details. 1-800-500-2883. If lines are busy, try again. 1-800-500-2883. That's 1-800-500-2883.
I've never seen anything like it.
Such an incredible experience.
The biggest spectacle.
Really incredible.
Our iHeartRadio Music Festival.
The great thing about being able to perform at the iHeartRadio Music Festival.
All different artists.
Diversity of the lineups.
It's like from country to pop.
Man, there is nothing like it.
Score tickets before the lineups release.
This show rocks the most people.
Download our free iHeartRadio app and enter keyword September in the search tab for a chance to win.
iHeartRadio Music Festival.
Listen for this year's lineup Monday at 7 a.m.
Drivers have a big responsibility when they're on the road, and so do pedestrians. Nearly 500 pedestrians die on Texas roads each year, and we all share a responsibility to bring that number to zero. If you're driving, always watch for pedestrians. If you're walking or jogging, always use a crosswalk and look out for oncoming vehicles. And everyone should put their phones away and pay attention. On foot or behind the wheel, always follow traffic laws. Be safe. Drive smart. A message from TxDOT.
You're not born knowing everything, but you can always learn. At Experian, we believe it's the same with managing your credit. With handy tools and answers about how credit works, you can learn to get better. Because credit isn't just a score. It's a skill. And we want you to master it. Go to Experian.com to enroll in Experian Credit Works today.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Oh, the discussions are continuing during the breaks here, but we got to tell you right now what's happening this week only in El Paso, Inc. Headline number one, Rick Kern.
Good news for much-beloved piece of downtown El Paso. The old popular building will be restored and not the way you might expect.
That story's in El Paso, Inc. Also, how fast do you drive on I-10? Probably too fast. Why speed limits are dropping as the number of accidents go up?
And the new boss at the Hub of Human Innovation says El Paso needs to grow its own startups.
Have no idea what that means, but it's in the Ink. They'll tell you there. Ink is online, elpasoinc.com. And also available for home and whatever delivery. Office.
And call 534-4422 to subscribe.
Let's just do that right away. All right, let's go back to Elias for a moment. Elias, we're moving kind of fast in here, but do you have any thoughts or comments you want to throw at us?
Yeah. One last story about Villa. When Villa was in Chihuahua, that is to say, he was appointed to the Federal Army by Madero before Madero was assassinated. And he served under the Victoriano Huerta. Huerta was sent as Villa to be shot by a firing squad. And the way it worked was that he got him on a charge that Villa had accepted a horse for as a gift from some soldiers, and he refused to give it back. So Huerta declares him, he wanted him shot for disobeying an order. They put him in front of the firing squad. Villa gets down on his knees, and he begs for his life.
Looks
people
like it worked.
Step in.
Mm-hmm.
People step in, call the president, he agrees, and he commutes the sentence. He orders that Villa be sent by train to Mexico City to serve time in a federal penitentiary. He did. During that year, which would have been 1913, he was lucky to have a cellmate who was a young, educated boy who taught Villa how to write properly, how to read, and taught him some Mexican history. Villa then went on the rampage. He wrote letters to everybody that he could. Nothing came of it, but he got in a lot of practice. That's how he achieved the ability to be a later on a state governor and that sort of thing.
How did he get out of prison? How did he get out of prison?
He escaped. There was we kind of got him. He shaved his mustache and everything. He ends up in Tucson, comes to El Paso. During the Battle of Juarez in 1914, he takes over Juarez in kind of a Trojan horse thing that he gets his troops from Chihuahua City to El Paso, pretending to be federales. They take over the city. One Castro, General Castro, who was the one that intervened for on his behalf when he was in front of the peloton.
Exactly, right.
Villa gives orders, make sure you allow him to escape. So that was Villa's, you know, Villa
payback.
Never forgot.
Right.
Whoever helped him or whoever didn't, you know, whoever betrayed him, he never forgot.
Well,
so that was one of the stories of Villa.
Is this the Trojan horse that was a train?
Absolutely. There's
okay.
Basically, he captures one of the trains, gets the federales out, he puts his own troops in the sends a telegram back to El Paso saying, you know, we got to move back. We're taking too much fire from the revolutionaries. We're going to just retreat back to Juarez. So they allow him to go back. So he comes in the middle of the night, and everybody here in Juarez expects him to be just more federal soldiers. He comes out, basically takes Juarez.
It turns out it was Villa.
It turns out to be Villa. So he would do some of these kind of brilliant. He really was kind of an instinctual, brilliant strategist. One last thing about, you know, in reference to Max's question about the Popular. Well, the Popular was, it went from 3 floors to 6 floors because of this incredible amount of trade that the Mexican Revolution brought to the city. So many of the buildings, including those Trost buildings, were a direct result, in a sense, of the profit from the violence that's going on across the border. I mean, there's huge profit in all the equipment and all the armament sale. So Schwartz was a good friend of Madero. There's a wonderful picture of him. Schwartz, later in the period that I'm now investigating, he brings in Jewish refugees from the Holocaust. So he's involved in this kind of global story as well, Adolf Schwartz, the owner of the Popular as well. So all these stories that we can learn from using buildings as a historical primary source.
Interesting stuff. Elias, we got to take another break here. You going to stick with us? Please do. Hold on here. And we got Alan's on the phone. We'll get to him in a minute. We got look at us on Facebook, El Paso History Radio Show. Check out if you got a question across the country. It's easier and cheaper than calling, perhaps. Otherwise, call us. But it's on Facebook, El Paso History Radio Show. And Rick Kern, the number is
915-544-5876.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs, like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Shaving. There's a lot of hype about how multi-blade razors are so important to getting a good shave. I thought so too, until I was introduced to Shave Secret Shaving Oil. Now I know it's not the razor, but the preparation that makes the difference. Well, sure, you need a good, sharp razor, but Shave Secret is the key to a close, comfortable shave. Shave Secret soaks in, softening your whiskers or leg hair, letting the blade glide across the skin for a close, comfortable shave. Shave Secret takes the place of all creams, soaps, gels, and powders for men and women of all ethnic backgrounds. Shave Secret reduces the nicking and cutting, ingrown hairs, bumps, and red, irritated skin. And works great with electric shavers, too. Shave Secret is so easy to use, great for travel, and it's really inexpensive. Hey, don't believe the hype. It's not the blade, but the preparation. Shave Secret for the best shave ever. Available now at HEB, Walmart Supercenters, Amazon.com, ShaveSecret.com, and Navy and Marine Corps exchanges.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
MasterCard gets you closer to the music you love with exclusive access to the iHeartRadio Music Festival MasterCard Presale. Use your MasterCard when tickets go on sale Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern and 6 a.m. Pacific at iHeartRadio.com/MasterCard. Certain terms and conditions apply.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, got a lot going on here. Got callers on hold. We got to tell you about a giant story when Hollywood came to Texas. The El Paso Museum of History is having this exhibit about a film being shown across the street. And the exhibit starts July 28th, and they're honored to work with the Community Foundation about the Classic Plaza Film Festival and the free exhibit honoring the 60th anniversary of the epic that was shot in Marfa. It's open to the public on Thursday the 28th, runs through Sunday the 18th, and they're talking about the giant. They got stuff from the movie, they got all kinds of pictures, they got all kinds of stories. And Rick Kern, what about the film itself?
Well, the Plaza Classic Film Festival features the giant film, and it's going to be showing from August 4th to August 14th, and we'll have films of all kinds to see at several locations in downtown El Paso. The movie Giant will be shown at the festival in the Kendall Kidd Performance Hall on Saturday, August 6th at 6 p.m. You can see all the films listed on the website, www.plazaclassic.com, and you can also get a $200 pass to all of the films, or you can just buy, you know, the tickets to see one, you know, one film at a time.
I'll try to sneak in, but don't do that.
Yeah.
They'll catch you. This is not a drive-in. You can't get in the trunk. This is not going to work. This is the Plaza and all those kind of places.
That's
all right.
That's right.
We got David Romo in the house here. We got Elias Bonilla on the phone. We got all kinds of callers coming in. Let's go to Alan. Alan, we got you on the phone, got you on the radio. What's up? 321 Alan. Oh, wait a minute. Alan is about to hit now. Yeah. Alan, go ahead.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. Hey, my question is, I understand Mexico got involved, declared war on Japan and Germany toward the end of World War II, and there was a Mexican Air Force unit that fought in the Pacific flying P-47s. Right. And I understand that the U.S. government told all men that fought in this unit when they came back home that they could apply for U.S. citizenship. And I'm just wondering if the doctor, good doctor, would know if that is true or not.
Yes, absolutely. There were actually 15,000 Mexican citizens, Mexican nationals, not Mexican Americans, that fought during World War II. About I forget the exact number. That you're referring to the Flying Aztec Eagle, so that el Escuadrón 201, as they called them in Spanish, and they definitely participated. They were trained in Texas, and they ended up in the Philippines. They were sent to the Philippines to fight the Japanese there under General MacArthur because of their knowledge of Spanish. the problem was that that was kind of a controversy as well in terms of Mexican nationals. If they lived in the United States, they were not allowed to go back to Mexico and serve in the Mexican army because Mexico declared war against the Axis in 1942 after a German submarine sank two tankers that were sending petroleum to the United States. So that all that stuff was very kind of complicated politics in those terms. The Axis were sending propaganda undermining kind of that U.S. hemispheric solidarity with Mexico. Because this time around, it wasn't like in World War One when Mexico was they declared neutrality. In World War Two, and in part thanks to like incredible propaganda, which is what I'm talking about, there was no choice but for most of Latin America to side with the Allies. So I don't know if that kind of indirectly answers your question, but yes, 15,000 Mexican nationals fought for the United States. Many of them were offered citizenship, and many of them were not.
Okay, that's what I was wondering, because I heard that the Air Force unit, all men in this particular unit were offered U.S. citizenship. Yes, and I knew they were Mexican nationals, because Mexico sent them to fight, you know, train in the U.S. and go to wherever they were going to go. But I guess they went to the Philippines. But, yeah, because a lot of the Filipino people, and their language is a combination of local and Spanish.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I found some very interesting archives in the Zavala State Archives in Austin, where the Texas Good Neighbor Commission would get complaints from some of the same pilots that are training in Texas that were not allowed to eat in Texas restaurants because they were segregated, right? And there was one case that made it up to like the White House and saying, you absolutely have to intervene with this because this is this is going to look terrible in terms of like the global propaganda that these, you know, elite fighters from Mexico aren't being able to be served in Texas restaurants.
A lot of junk went on like that, and this just brought it to the top when it was like that.
And Alan, that remained classified. It never made the press or anything. Hey, so Alan, that's a lot of fascinating stuff.
Alan, thank you for the call. We got to move on here. We've got Dr. Romo in the house, and we got to take one more break here because we've got so much to do here. Look at us on Facebook, El Paso History Radio Show. Back in just a moment.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit Barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
If you're ready to buy a new car, download the TrueCar app. Just configure the new car you want, see what others paid for it, and lock in guaranteed savings from TrueCar certified dealers. It's that easy. Save time and money. Download the TrueCar app today.
Experian wants you to be better at credit. While maxing out credit cards could hurt your credit score, you should keep unused cards open because it increases your debt-to-available credit ratio, which is a good thing. Go to Experian.com to learn more.
Message and data rates may apply.
If you're a guy over 40 and you want to stay on top of your game, try a sample bottle of GNC's top-selling, award-winning Nugenix. Listen, if you're experiencing lower sex drive, general sluggishness, and decreased performance, Nugenix is a powerful man-boosting formula. For 2013, it won GNC's Innovative Product of the Year and was also named GNC's number one-selling men's vitality product. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting BOOST to 99000. Nugenix uses a clinically researched key ingredient to invigorate a man's body and increases libido. Enjoy more passion, higher sex drive, improved performance. Be more the man you want to be in the gym and in the bedroom. You want to stay on top of your game, don't you? Then try top-selling, award-winning Nugenix and feel like the best man you can be. Nugenix is available at GNC and Vitamin Shoppe, but you can only get your complimentary bottle by texting BOOST to 99000. Again, text BOOST to 99000.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we got a lot going on. Speaking of Melissa Sargent, she is out there in Anthony, Texas today. Go out and see her. It's a whole thing about the Day of the Cowboy. It's a big deal. They got this whole park. They're taking it over. They got booths going on out there. They got all kinds of stuff with the, it's all day today, basically, till 5 o'clock. Live music, a petting zoo, hay rides, food. Did I mention food? Yes, I mentioned food. There's food. There's food here. Oh, yes, and it's if you want to talk to them out there, 581-7099. Melissa's cell phone will ring like crazy.
And we're going
to
go out there.
Yeah, we're going to head out there, and we're going to go to Pepe's first. David, yeah. If you can join us, I'll buy you lunch.
All
otherwise,
right,
we're going to end up at Pepe's for lunch, over to the Richard C. White Park for the afternoon adventures there with Cowboy Day. All right, we've got callers on the phone. We've got Elias Bonilla here. Elias, we're about to wrap this up. You have any wrap-up thoughts?
Well, I was just going to mention that the... there was a very famous battle fought at Carrizal during the revolution when Pershing, of course, was occupying Chihuahua. And I went to the place, and I looked at the whole layout, and it's still there, and the Mexicans have put up some gold and masonry memorials there. And they killed one of the Mexican generals, General Gomez. Anyway, this was a disaster for the Americans. They lost almost the entire squadron. About 15 of them were captured and taken to Chihuahua, and later on they were sent back. They also had to disinter all the Americans and the Mexicans that had been tossed into the same large grave in the cemetery there at Carrizal.
Carrizal is so part of the history, yeah.
It is, yeah.
Well, Elias,
I wanted to add that in because it was a very interesting period of time. And I'm glad to hear that David is digging into some of this stuff all of the espionage that went on.
Wait till you see book two.
Great.
Wait till you see the second ringside seat to the revolution. I think there's another side to that revolution that we're going to get to see from a different seat.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Elias, I want to thank you. We're going to move on here, but very much appreciate you being on the show today with us.
Thank you.
All right, you take care. We'll see you in the future. And Elias Bonilla, thank you very much for what you've done here today talking to us. Also, got to thank the control room crowd. Shelly Sutherland taking the phone calls. And the man with the buttons in there, Sergio Valenzuela. Yeah, you see, you got to have the crowd in there, dude. And I didn't warn him we're doing that. All right, one more phone call today for David Romo. Dr. C, you're on the radio. Good morning.
What a marvelous program today. I mean, you've got all kinds of platinum stars. Jackson, hey, Rick and Sharon.
Hi, Dr. C.
Hi. Oh, my gosh. I'm excited. Every neuron that I have is all exploding, the two of them.
You've got about 40 seconds, so go for it.
Well, I just want to thank Dr. David Romo. I'm excited about your new research, and congratulations on your PhD. I can't wait to see you again.
Thank you.
Years. Elias, wonderful hearing you. I know you're charming them with all of your wonderful personality, but your knowledge out in California, Dr. Max Grossman, thank you. You know, my great-great-grandfather was Elias Tarazas, so this is a great interest to me. And thank you all, and Shelley, Cecil, everyone that contributes so much.
Evelyn's also in here today.
History. It's amazing, and you're amazing, and I thank you from my heart.
Thank you, ma'am. You stay.
I'll see you soon.
Come on out to Pepe's with us today. We're going to go eat lunch out there today, so that'd be kind of funny. Evelyn Casara, thank you very much for sitting here and doing Facebook. Dr. Romo, thank you for, first of all, going and being a doctor. That took work. Thank you for doing it.
Oh, my pleasure. You're welcome.
We're all going to benefit because what you're cooking up is going to be most unusual. And I've already seen in my head, there's one or two movies coming out of some of your books.
Oh, yeah.
I hope you're right.
I hope we're all there when it happens.
I've been working on possibilities of turning into documentaries. I contacted some people and already.
Mm-hmm. There's a one you and I may end up talking about if we can do
it. There you go.
There's all kinds of documentaries. Rick Kern, thanks for being here, dude.
Thank you, man.
We're going to go out there and see them cowboys and see them sweat out there in the heat and have a good time. But they're doing cowboy things out there.
Yeehaw.
Cowboys like that kind of stuff.
Let's do
Everybody
it.
Everybody else, we're going to see you at the Pepe's on the way here. And anything else you need to know about the radio program, all of the podcasts are now up to date. Took me a long time, but everything on the radio show from 2016 is now online. Go to ephistory.com. And if you feel like it, buy a DVD while you're there. That's always a good thing. Everybody else, details about the radio shows are there at ephistory.com. Thank you for joining us, everybody else. Next week, we'll see you. David, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management, for your real estate investments. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.